This is the military service record of Lawrence Thomas Hager, born on March 20, 1893, in Danbury, Connecticut, in Fairfield County. Father's name, Charles F. Hager, born in USA. Mother's maiden name, Catherine Scharfenberg, born in USA. Are you white, colored, Indian, Mongolian? White. Citizen? Yes. Voter? No. Church? Baptist. Married? No. Fraternal Orders. BPG Elks. Actors Equity Association. Previous military experience? None. Occupation before entry into the service? Actor and singer, musical comedy and vaudeville. Employer? None indicated. Residence before entry into service? 147 Triangle Street, Danbury, Connecticut. Present home address, 147 Triangle Street, Danbury, Connecticut, in Fairfield County. War record. Inducted into service or enlisted on March 29, 1918, in Danbury, Connecticut, as a private in the Depot Brigade section of the National Army. Identification number 1685716. Assigned originally, company, none indicated. Regiment, none indicated. Division, none indicated. Trained or stationed before going to Europe. Camp Devens, from March 30, 1918 to April 18, 1918. Camp Upton, April 19, 1918 to April 24, 1918. Transferred to Company A, 320th Machine Gun Battalion, 82nd Division. April 20th, 1918, at new location, Camp Upton. Promoted, none indicated. Embarked from New York on the ship SS Coronia on April 24, 1918, and arrived at Liverpool, England on May 7, 1918. Proceeded from Liverpool, England to Romsey, England on May 8, 1918. From Romsey, England to Le Havre, France on May 16, 1918. Trained or stationed abroad in France. Selenel, May 20, 1918 to June 16, 1918. Meroux, France from June 18, 1918 to July 13, 1918. From Manonville, France from July 18, 1918 to July 16, 1918. First went into action on July 16, 1918 in Toul sector. Participated in the following engagements: Saint-Mihiel Drive, Bolny, Charpentry-Fleville, Chehery and La Virguette in the Argonne Drive, and Saint-Juvin. Cited, decorated, or otherwise honored for distinguished services. Give circumstantial accounts of exploits, including dates and places, where performed, also by whom and in what manner the honors were bestowed. None indicated. Killed in action, killed by accident, died of wounds, died of disease, wounded, gassed, shell-shocked, taken prisoner. Nature of casualty? Shrapnel wounds. Had my forehead and part of chin blown off. Place? Near Grand Pré Argonne. Date? October 18, 1918. Under medical care, hospital, base number 46, Bataille-sur-Meuse, from October 16, 1918 to January 7, 1919. Permanently disabled, 16%. Arrived, Newport News, on the ship USS Artemis, on May 24, 1918, from Saint-Mihiel. Discharged from service at Camp Upton, New York, on June 3, 1918, as a private. Return to civilian life. Occupation, actor. If a change of occupation was occasioned by reason of disability acquired in the service, describe the process or re-education and readjustment, and indicate the agencies or individuals chiefly instrumental in furnishing new occupation. None indicated. Additional information. What was your attitude toward military service in general and toward your call in particular? I was rejected twice the first time in Denver, Colorado, and in Plattsburgh, New York. I was anxious to get into the service. What were the effects of camp experience in the United States upon yourself, mental and physical? Wasn't in camps long enough to find out. What were the effects upon yourself of your overseas experience, either in the Army or Navy, or in camp, in France or in England? After I got out of the hospital, I toured the leave areas and camps with a show known as the Whiz Bangs. If you took part in the fighting, what impressions were made upon you by this experience? Wouldn't want to take a million for my experience, or to go through it again. What has been the effect of all these experiences as contrasted with your state of mind before the war? I have had lots of troubles with my head, and my mind is bad, and I am very nervous. Included photographs. Photograph in uniform dated March 15, 1919, taken in Nîmes, France. Headshot taken before going into service. Additional included data. Will include some newspaper clippings with photographs. Additional documents included with his survey. 1. Letter from State Librarian addressed to Mr. Lawrence Thomas Hager, dated May 13, 1921. 2. Copy of poster, The Convalescent Entertainers, 10 Whizbangs Back from the Front. 3. Newspaper article from the Bridgeport Herald, dated June 15, 1919, titled, The Whizbangs Are Home Again. 4. Newspaper article, undated and newspaper not indicated, entitled, Where's Dead Man's Eyebrow? Surgeons Rebuilt Lawrence Hager's Face and Head. 5. Postcard identifying where the picture was taken while he was touring with the Whizbangs. Signed, Lawrence T. Hager, on May 6, 1921, in Charleston, Illinois.
This is the letter written by the state librarian to Mr. Lawrence Thomas Hager, dated May 13, 1921. My dear Mr. Hager, when I received your questionnaire with the accompanying pictures and clippings, I cannot tell you the feelings which I had. It is not given to many to have passed through what you went through and still be living and able to contribute to the entertainment and instruction of others. I hope sometime, when in Hartford, you will call at the State Library and see something of what we have been trying to do in getting together a war collection as well as a Department of War records. Your military service certificate will be engrossed and forwarded to you as soon as prepared. With all good wishes, I remain, very sincerely, State Librarian, and there is no signature.
The following article was attached to the military service record of Lawrence Thomas Hager. Bridgeport Herald, June 15, 1919. Headline, The Whizbangs Are Home Again. Photograph, Convalescent Entertainers, The Whizbangs. After several weeks spent in the mud and noise of the trenches, after the doughboy had once more become a normal American, and after the wounded had lain for weeks suffering from the terrible wounds of battle, the problem of providing suitable entertainment, something wholesome, with which to divert their minds and sustain the morale so necessary to the Army, was one of the gravest which confronted the officers in command of America's best. The YMCA and the Knights of Columbus provided cheerful rest huts, but the boys needed something in the line of amusement, something which would take the place of shows and vaudeville performances back home. Therefore, when 9 or 10 of the convalescent men, on their own initiative, put on a performance for the amusement of the wounded in Base Hospital 46, the Baiser on the Meuse, officials immediately took steps to keep the organization together. Lawrence Hager, a resident of Bridgeport for some time before entering the service, was one of the boys in the company. He had been on stage with musical comedies, among which were Harry Orr's There She Goes and the Lakeside Opera Company at Denver, Colorado. Reviewed by Royalty, Mr. Hager entered the service with the 82nd Division of Company A, 230th Machine Gun Battalion on April 25, 1918, and sailed from New York to Liverpool. During his stay in London, his division paraded before the King and Queen of England, and finally was sent across the Channel to France. Here, they were placed with British troops in the II sector. The division was afterwards brigaded with French troops in the Maubach and Saint-Mihiel sectors and were fighting almost continuously. Mr. Hager states that he was in the engagement in which Colonel Pike was killed, and the division was also in engagements in Belleny-Carpentray, Fleuville-Chehery, and in the Virguet sectors, and in the Argonne Forest from September 30 to October 31. On October 15, he received a wound in the forehead at Saint-Gervais during an advance, and the scar, which results, will be a forceful reminder of the many days spent under fire of the German guns. Making his way to the dressing station, the only one left of his squad, Private Hager received first aid and was later placed on a Red Cross train and arrived at Base Hospital 46, where he remained the weeks. It was during his convalescence here that he met Val Marconi, well known among theatergoers in the United States. Marconi has thrilled audiences of this country from coast to coast with his superior playing on the accordion, and at the time of entering the army, was engaged in playing at the Hippodrome in New York. He also has been one of the best drawing cards of the LaSalle Theater in Chicago for a long time. Connected with an ambulance corps, he spent his spare time in playing for the sick and wounded in base hospitals, and one day came to the ward in which Private Hager was recovering from his wound. The reunion was a pleasant one for both, who had known each other in the professional world of the States, and in the exchange of confidences, it was learned that several more well-known entertainers were located in the same town. It was then decided to give a vaudeville show for the entertainment of the sick in Base Hospital 46. Preparations were started at once, and permission was obtained from the military authorities. Among the professionals rounded up to supply the talent were many whose names are familiar to Bridgeporters. Val Marconi needs no introduction, as his execution on the accordion has afforded many Bridgeport Theater patrons hours of pleasure. Sunshine George Hall, who appeared with Mrs. Vernon Castle in the screen film Patria, and who was connected with the Max Sennett screen offerings before entering the service, is also familiar to many local people, was secured. His monologue, Back from the Front, was one of the numbers which never failed to please the Doughboys. Victor Orr, whose wonderful voice is better known in the West, was a member of the Oregon Opera Company, was another whose services were enlisted. Charles Bauer, another familiar vaudeville entertainer, has also appeared in Bridgeport with a vaudeville team known as Bauer and Saunders. He was a member of the singers' trio known as That Trio and joined the troupe. Jack Wyman, whose antics in Gus Edwards' presentation School Days has given local people many laughs, was also rounded up for the entertainment. Johnny Byam, a clever dancer who appeared in Chicago and the Middle West with a jazz specialty act, offered to appear with the boys and was a decided addition to the organization. The name of Charles Spidell, another member, is one which needs no introduction. His connection with Remix Music Publishing House of New York and his many compositions have been sung in thousands of Bridgeport homes. It was largely due to his efforts that a fine program was arranged, and several of the songs rendered were of his composition. Jack Belko, formerly with the September Morn Company, was also asked to join. Charles Bowman, a blackface comedian, completed the organization. Mr. Bowman has appeared in theaters all over the world and was at one time booked at an English music hall with our own Charlie Chaplin. The organization was called the Whiz Bangs and was the original company, while many Whiz Bang companies have since come to life among the entertainers of the AEF. These were the real original company. When the first entertainment had been rehearsed, not only were the convalescent soldiers allowed to attend, but officers and nurses and all hospitals attached witnessed the performance. To say that the voluntary entertainers scored a hit is putting it mildly. The pleasure of both the convalescent and the homesick Americans, as well as those of other nations, at witnessing a real American show was so great that steps were immediately taken to hold the organization of the Whiz Bangs together. Permission was finally given the boys to tour the country. They were placed under the direction of the YMCA, who arranged the bookings, and they were relieved from all military duties, although still in the service. When some of them were offered a chance to return to the States, they refused, as they fully appreciated the great pleasure the soldiers took in witnessing a live American show so far from home. Entertainments were given in hospitals, theaters, rest camps, embarkation camps. In fact, anywhere that a tired or homesick soldier was on leave or able to witness a performance. Many boys, tired and jaded after many weary weeks of fighting, whose interest in everything had made him almost a wreck of his former self, was aroused to an active interest in things of the world, and forgot for a time the horrors which can never entirely be obliterated from memory. One of the most interesting places visited by the whizbangs was Monte Carlo. They staged their show at the world-renowned casino, and one of the spectators was the Prince of Monaco. Other members of royalty who witnessed their performance were the Queen and Princess of Romania and the Infanta of Spain. They also played three dates in Paris, the last one in the famous Champs-Élysées Theater on April 17, 18, and 19 of this year. In one of the rest camps, the audience for the three nights in succession was composed of 7,000 soldiers on leave. Everything pleased them, and their appreciation of the efforts of the whizbangs was noted by the many encores to which they were called to respond. The program consisted of general vaudeville entertainment with the usual song, dancing, and general jazz added to give zest. Both sentimental and patriotic songs were rendered, and most of them were the compositions of Mr. Spidell. One of the numbers sung by Mr. Hager was his own. Some of the cities at which they appeared were Aix-les-Bains, a famous health resort, Chamonix, at the foot of Mont Blanc, Grenoble, which is noted for being the place where the painting September Morn was. And at this point, the attached newspaper clipping ends.
This newspaper article was attached to the military service record of Lawrence Thomas Hager. Headline, Where's Dead Man's Eyebrow? Surgeons rebuilt Lawrence Hager's face and head. Have you seen the man with the dead man's eyebrow? The similarity of the man in this case to the hero of Holworthy Hall's novel, The Man Nobody Knew, is striking, and the only difference is that the army surgeons rejuvenated this man's features so he really resembles himself. The victim in this case is Lawrence Hager, who is appearing at the Colonial Theater with Murphy's Love Hunters. Mr. Hager is wearing an eyebrow from a dead soldier grafted over his right eye. His brain is protected in front not only by a sheet of bone, but a silver plate helps the bone to function against the hard knocks of life. In addition to these, Mr. Hager is wearing a silver plate instead of a chin bone. And all of this was the result of the explosion of a shell in Mr. Hager's vicinity when he, with 13 others, was on detail in the drive on Grand Prix to draw the enemy's fire while the infantry flanked the Boches. Hager served 16 months overseas. He was in a machine gun corps in the 82nd Division, and until October 15, 1918, no bullet had touched him. On detail to draw the enemy fire on Grand Prix, he was struck by shrapnel and thought to be dying when the surgeons took him in hand. Now he closely resembles his photographs taken before entering the service. The other 13 men in the squad were killed. After he had partially recovered and was convalescing in a base hospital, a party of entertainers was organized, of which he was a member. The Funbringers, calling themselves the Whiz Bang Entertainers, gave a number of entertainments at the YMCA huts and were not sent back to the firing line. Following his return to the United States, Mr. Hager again entered his profession and is now appearing in Pittsburgh, wearing another man's eyebrow, a silver-plated forehead, and a silver chin.